Invite you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Very familiar portion of Scripture. John chapter number 3, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again." And I want to preach on that thought. You must be born again. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this time that we've had to hear these wonderful songs. Listen, Lord, to the music as it's played. We come now to the time of the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I know I need you. I need you desperately. Lord, if I stand and preach in my own power, my own ability, no doubt, Lord, nothing will come from it. But Lord, if you'll give me the unction, if you'll divinely enable me, Lord, and Lord, today we can hear from heaven, and that's our desire. Lord Jesus, would you do something sweet and special in this time? And may we be obedient to the things we hear and the things you speak to us about. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find a man in the Scripture named Nicodemus. We find a discourse, if you will, or conversation going on between him and the Lord. He comes to the Lord Jesus at night. Undoubtedly, he's coming at a time when many of those that he's around won't know that he's there. But he comes and he begins to talk about the Lord, about certain things, about life. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler, the Bible says, of the Jews. In other words, he had a place of high standing in that religion, in a place in the Pharisees, in the Sanhedrin, no doubt that he was way up there. Very religious, if you will. But he needed something more than that. And he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt his curiosity has been raised and he's heard of the things of God. He's heard what Christ has done. He's heard the stories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's decided he's going to come and he's going to investigate for himself and he's going to get some answers to some questions. And this is an amazing conversation. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from the Jews, for no man can do these miracles except that God be with him. He makes a statement and Jesus comes back and look what he says. I mean, it's like he doesn't ask a question, nothing is being said, but Jesus answered him and said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what? Nicodemus comes and Jesus knew what Nicodemus needed. And I want you to know today, the Lord Jesus knows exactly what you need. He knows where you are in your life. He knows what you're doing with your life. And He knows what you need. And I want to look at Nicodemus this morning. And I want to see just a few things. I want to preach just for a few minutes this morning on you must be born again. First of all, as we look at the life of Nicodemus, I want you to see, number one, he was a religious man. He was a religious man. The Bible says that he was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was way up in his religion. And this morning, we have a world filled with religious people. And there are churches just like ours, and maybe even in our church, where there are people that are very religious, but they're lost. You listen to what I'm saying this morning. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves you, it is a life-changing event. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We've got to the point to where all you have to do is sign a card and you think you're on your way to heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. John preached the baptism of repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. The Bible says that we must by faith believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was and rose again the third day. It's more than just signing. It's more than just joining the church. Dear friends, it is having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your religion will not get you to heaven. Your religion will not do anything for you except send you to hell off of a church pew. Nicodemus was a man, no doubt, that was he was in the synagogues. I have no doubt about that. He probably sat and listened to some of the greatest teachers of the law. He probably lived a very clean and moral life. Very religious. The other day we had two fellas come and knocking on doors. And they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I was mowing and I saw them going towards our door and I thought, well, I'll go talk to them. And so, you know, I went over and I pulled up and I said, hey, can I help you guys? I was thinking, I really could if you'd let me. But, you know, and they said, yeah, we're just out passing out some things. And I said, well, I don't need that. And I said, I have things I pass out too. And I said, I don't need what you've got. And I said something about, I said, boy, you're really working hard. I said, but you know, works won't do it for you. I said, you can work all you want to, but you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then they started talking about how the world was getting worse and worse and how everything's going so bad. And I said, well, it just depends on how you look at it. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, you say the world's getting worse and worse and it's getting darker and darker, but the way I look at it, it's getting brighter and brighter. Jesus is coming soon. You know, and all of a sudden they go, you know, and I'm standing there. And so I said, don't we tell you about the greatest day of my life? There was a day in my life when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He changed my life. I want you to know, my life's not been the same since then. They went, you know, two young guys. I said, do you know, you've got to have a personal relationship with Him. I said, you're out here, you're working, you're doing all this. And I said, I believe that working ought to be a part of it. You know, and they go and they say, well, you know, the Bible says faith without works is dead. I said, that's exactly right. But the Bible also teaches us that we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Our works prove our faith. See, there's a difference between religion and Christianity. You've heard me say it before. It's two letters, right? You know what religion says? Do. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do all these different things. But you know what Christianity says? Done. And Jesus Christ finished the work on the cross of Calvary. Now, I pointed my fingers at these two Jehovah's Witnesses because we know what they believe. But let's point inside the church. There's a lot of you just playing the game. A lot of people in Baptist churches, and when I say you, I'm talking about in congregations just like this, where the truth is preached and taught about salvation. Now I want you to know, it's more than just being a member of the church. That's not going to get you to heaven. It's more than teaching a Sunday school class. And some people, they try to robe themselves in all kinds of works. Well, I'll just busy myself. I'll get real religious. I'll do all the religious things. But I want you to know, religion is not what it's about. It's about Christ. It's about that change. It's about that change of mind, and I believe a change of heart. It's an about face. There's a difference that takes place in your life when Jesus Christ comes in. Nicodemus had it all going for him according to his religion. He was faithful, no doubt, to the synagogue. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was carrying out all kinds of great and mighty works. But he comes to the Lord Jesus by night and he says, "Man, I've got all the religion I need." So we see that he had religion. Number two, we see he respected the Lord. Look at what the Bible says in verse number two. He came to Jesus by night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." He respected who Christ was. He respected the work that God did in the life of his only begotten Son. But it's more than just respect for what Jesus has done. A lot of religions believe that Jesus is a good man. A lot of religions believe that Jesus was a great prophet, a fine teacher. But he is the Son of God, the sinless Savior that robed himself in flesh, God that robed himself in flesh and came into this world. It's more than just respecting who he is. Nicodemus respected the Lord. He respected what he had done. He respected the miracles that he saw. And I want to tell you something. I can stand up here and I can preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday about what Jesus did, about him walking on the water, about him healing the blind, the lame, making the deaf to hear, and making the mute to be able to talk, and to see all the wonderful things, how he fed 5,000 with 5,000 besides the women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish, how he changed the water into wine. And we can say, boy, he was a great man, and we can have respect for who the Lord is. But I want to tell you something. It's more than just respecting the Lord. We've played games at the house of God. We've had a Christianity that's being taught by a lot of people where there's no change in a person's life. There's something wrong somewhere. You cannot have somebody like the Lord Jesus Christ come and live in your life and there not be a change. Now, we're not going to be perfect in this world, but we're going to be perfect in the sight of God. But how can people say that they're saved, and this was my other message, and just make their way to church once a week? If they don't have the health and the ability, that's one thing. But when it's just choice, there's something wrong somewhere in this world. There's something wrong somewhere in the church. There's something wrong somewhere in the heart of the person that says they're a believer when they have no desire to be in the house of God. You can like it. You don't have to like it. You can say, "I'm turning you off from this point on," but you get what I just said. If you're saved, you ought to have a desire to be in church. You ought to have a desire to be around God's people. It's more than respecting the Lord, it's loving the Lord. And the Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, we're not one of those churches where people come for social status. You understand what I'm saying? There are churches like that around. They're very large churches and people go there. A lot of times politicians will go there for votes. A lot of times doctors will go there for clients, and lawyers will go there for clients. You understand what I'm saying? It's hard to believe, but that actually takes place. Can you believe that? It's ridiculous, isn't it? But I want to tell you something. You can sit here and you can respect everything that God done, but have you ever been born again? Has there ever been a life-changing moment in your life where you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and He came to live? Came to abide in your being? Do you know that you know that you've been born again? I'm not talking about are you perfect. Now, I'm not talking about have you done this and that? And I'm saying, have you ever, by faith, trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? You know, I look around and we've got to get this message out. Every one of us here have family and friends that we need to talk to and say, look, you need to know that you've been born again. And when you talk to people, you need to let them know, if you really love God, the Bible teaches us that we'll live a different kind of life. It's not by works, but James said, show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. It's about time that we as Christians had some works in our lives to prove our faith to this world. This morning I got a phone call from my dad. It was pretty early, and he said, "Son, you got a few minutes?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I got to get this thing settled. I don't know if I'm saved." He said, "I need you to talk to me." I talked to him. I said, "Dad, you got to get it now. Whether you have or you have not. Now's the time to get it settled and get it nailed down and you get it right." And my dad began to cry out to God. He either got saved this morning, or he got it settled this morning. But I want to tell you something. I heard a difference in his voice. My dad's a good man. But he wanted to be sure that he had what Nicodemus needed. Nicodemus had religion. Nicodemus had respect. But what he needed was a relationship. Notice what the Bible says. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus answered and said, "How can a man be born when he is old?" You notice that? He says, "Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and then be born?" And then Jesus said, "You have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the flesh and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." When you are born again, you get a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that relationship will change your life. I've been so shallow in preaching it. I've been so backwards in saying what needs to be said. But I think God is sick of people that name the name of Christ and they don't live the Christian life and bring a poor reproach to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in works. Don't get me wrong. It's all grace. There's no doubt about it. But how can we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and continue living for the world and not have a change? Amen. Something has to change. There has to be a difference. There's got to be a difference. Everybody I see in the Bible that got their heart right with God, you see the difference. You see a change. You see something happen. We've got to get this thing right. We're living in the last days. I believe we're living in the end times of the end times. And dear friends, we will be held accountable. We will be held responsible. This past Wednesday night, the message I preached on the book of the Revelation, I started talking about the judgment seat of Christ. It made me realize that I have an accountability to God. I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and I will give an account of all the works that I've done, whether they're good or whether they're bad. But I'm going to give an account of what I've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, the account that I would have would be a pretty poor excuse for what a Christian ought to be. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of me. I'm tired of not doing more for God. I'm tired of not doing what God wants me to do. I'm tired of letting opportunities pass me by when I ought to tell somebody about Jesus. Jesus Christ took my life, deserved hell, and He said, "I'm going to give you heaven." And He changed me. And He made me a new person. And sometimes I sit back and I don't tell people about it. And sometimes I just cruise through life. We can't do that. There's not time. There's not enough days left. I can't go back and live one day in the past. I can't redo yesterday, but by the grace of God, I can make a commitment now that I'm going to go forward. I must grow in the Lord and be faithful. No doubt there were some trying times with Nicodemus. We don't see actually a point here where Nicodemus had this life-changing conversion, but this night impacted his life. And somewhere in his life, I have no doubt that he was saved. The Bible says in the Book of John, chapter number 7, verse number 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is a prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said," verse 42, "that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" I like this. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." You know what they're saying? There's something different about this fellow. He's not like anybody else we've tried to bring to you. Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." And then all of a sudden, one of the leaders, he couldn't take it anymore. His name, Nicodemus, verse 50, saith unto them, "He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth their law judge any man before it hear him? Or know what he doeth?" Look here. "They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." They're wrong. Elijah was from there. Jonah was from there. Oh, it was a city close by. And every man went into his own house. It's like Nicodemus had been part of the secret service of the Lord. And his group was beginning to condemn these, and these Pharisees were coming, and they said, "Well, we can't bring him to you. We've never heard anybody like this man." And they began to condemn. They said, "You're going to follow him?" And Nicodemus stood and said, "Is this what we're about?" It was a change. Then I want you to go to John 19, verse number 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there also came who? Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. You know what happened? We find the Lord Jesus having a conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was religious. He respected the Lord. But Jesus said, "You need more than religion and you need more than respect. You need a relationship." We don't see a whole lot more. If you'll continue reading down through verse 15 of John chapter number 3, that's all conversation that we find that Jesus and Nicodemus is having. And then all of a sudden, it seems like it changes when it goes to John 3:16. Maybe continuing, but we understand that there's a difference. John chapter number 7, we find that Nicodemus still associated with the Pharisees, but I believe he's had a change in his life and he takes his stand for the Lord and for the things of God. But we come down to the end, we find a secret worker of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us here a Joseph of Arimathea, and we find Nicodemus. And these secret workers are coming out publicly saying, "We want to do something with the Lord. We want to prepare His body. We're willing now to be identified with Him." I believe the cross of Calvary was the very thing that helped Nicodemus to say, I'm not ashamed. And I'm not going to be quiet about it any longer. Nicodemus was known as one of the most wealthy men of that day. And he took his wealth and he poured it out on Jesus. 100 pounds. Quite an expensive perfume or ointment, if you will. And he put it on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after Calvary, after he watched as Jesus was hanging on the cross, after he heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After he looked over at the one and he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. When he cried, I thirst, and they gave him vinegar to drink. He rebuked them not, but he saw the eyes of love as Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary in agony, and he was looking out at the people. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he heard him say, it is finished. And he said, I'm not ashamed. You must be born again. But after you've been born again, that relationship will change your life. I got married June the 9th, 1990. Before that time, there was an engagement period, I guess you could say. And I'd made a commitment to Jody. We're going to be married. But the day that we got married, that commitment became concrete. In other words, she was the only one. There could be no other woman. Right? And I was to be totally committed to her. I was to love her the way that what? Christ loved the church. The way that Christ loves me. I want to tell you something. I can proudly tell people who my wife is. Because of our relationship and because of what God has done. And because I love her so much. God's blessed us with offspring. 2 wonderful children. Another one in heaven. And I love to talk about them. But that relationship changed the day that I said, I do. And the day that she said, I do. And your relationship changed. You probably had some religion. Most of us did. And you probably respected the Lord. But the day that you said yes to His salvation, your relationship changed. And there was to be a commitment to Him and Him alone. See, what you do, you don't do for the church, you do for Christ. What you do, you don't do for the preacher, you do for Christ. Because you love Him. Because He's changed you. Do you understand this? What a difference a day makes when that day is the day you trusted Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your love. And thank You for this time that we've had to look into Thy precious Word. Lord, I pray that we've been helped today. And I pray that the Spirit of God has made this sweet to our soul. Lord, while there may have been some stinging things as we thought about our lives, we realize, Lord, that the truth is the very thing that will set us free when we hear it and we know it. Lord, I pray that everyone here knows Christ as Savior, but if there be one here that's never trusted Thee, I pray that this would be the day. Get it settled once and for all. They know that heaven's going to be their home. We know, Lord, it's by grace and grace alone, through our faith in Thee. Lord, I pray that You'll help those of us that have said yes to Thee and we've entered into that relationship, that we'd come to a place of total commitment to the person of Christ and the work, the purpose that He has in our life. Lord Jesus, please help us. Please help me. I'm so sorry for how I failed Thee. But help me, Lord, to do that which is right. In Thy blessed name I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Paul to begin singing a hymn of invitation here in just a second as the piano begins to